From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Vance Morrison.
And welcome back to Defrag Tools. So we're back with Vance again, one more week here, talk about some more Perfview stuff.
Indeed. We always have more.
So. Always more. We may eventually we may move to a different topic, but I'm not sure when. But
we've got a few left.
Well,
so.
We're getting there.
So like just to give you a recap is that you can still pick up Perfview by either doing an internal or a web search on Perfview. You will find the download site. You can download it.
Mm-hmm. And click the link, quite frankly.
Right, yeah, we'll have a link.
We'll have a link above this. Okay, fine.
Yeah, sure.
You guys are just so with it. So I'm going to assume you already have Perfview. And we've been talking. The first two things were about sort of data collection for performance, and then we sort of flipped gears and we started to talk about sort of diagnostics and sort of what might be interesting for those kinds of scenarios. And we talked about exceptions. And so we're going to continue that theme of we're going to sort of talk about things that are more diagnostic than performance related, although you'll see that there is an overlap.
And quite frankly, if you haven't seen the exception episode, go back and watch last week because it was awesome.
Yeah. So in fact, I'll recap that very slightly here, which is that I'm going to open up a particular file. Now, I'm assuming I've already collected data, but again, you don't have to, until I say otherwise, you could collect it in the normal way, which is, You say Perfview collect, or you hit the collect file, you go up here and you say collect, and you say go, start collection. And unless I say otherwise, all of this works with that collection. We will talk about some of the things in here, though, that we're going to have to go down in the advanced dialog box and sort of click some of these things during the collection time. But I'm not going to show you that. I'm going to show you what happens once you've got one of these files and you want to look inside it, because that's usually where it's more interesting. The whole idea behind the data collection is it's supposed to be so simple, even your customers can do it. Okay, so anyway, another thing, that a theme that we ran through the last time, which was that I mentioned that everything that's in these data files, these ETL files that we're collecting, can be viewed in this what's called events view. And then what we have is that we have all these other specialized views that are just really slicing and dicing the data another way. And we're gonna see each time, I'm gonna show you something in the events view, and then I'll probably show you some other way of getting at the same data, slicing it differently. So one of the things that we had seen before was the exceptions. And I talked about how I can type all of right in this zone are the names of the events, and if I type anything in here, it will filter to just those things that match this pattern. So I can find all exceptions by clicking like this. I can also find exceptions. I can see their call stacks by clicking on this view instead. But we did that last time, so I'm not going to do it this time. So we're going to do some other things, and I'm going to show you some other cool things that you can do. The first one is disk IO. So one of the things that we can do is we can type disk, and you'll see there's this one called disk IO read and disk IO write. And so I can just click on like all my reads. And again, I showed you this last time, is that you can pick the interesting fields. So what it's doing is it's showing me every event that was a disk read. And you can see there are a whole bunch of fields. But you know, most of the time you're only interested in, say,
is there a latency one or something?
Well, there is in fact elapsed time.
Yep.
There's also transfer size. So I'm gonna do elapsed time, transfer size, and then file name. And it's best to put the one that's variable width at the end. Just so that it looks pretty. And here it is.
So the column order was the order that you clicked them in.
Indeed. Yeah. So when I click those, that transfers into what gets put up here, and then that order is what determines what the columns look like down here.
That's cool.
So in fact, if I wanted to add another one, I can. They're still selected, so I can click one more, and
you're control clicking.
Control clicking. Yeah. Control clicking. So this is the standard Windows paradigm for selecting multiple things.
Yep.
Okay, so what you see here is that I see a whole bunch of reads, I see a whole bunch of transfer sizes, and one of the things I didn't show you is that when you select something, in fact, it'll do these handy column sums for you. So in fact, I can know the total transfer size of all those disk IOs. I can also sort by these things, so if I wanted to see the biggest transfer time, let's flip it the other way. And I would see that, in fact, my biggest one was this one that took 3.3 seconds
Ouch.
To the page file. I don't know exactly why that happened, but we can find we could find out. I'm not going to do it today, but
your disk was spun down or something.
Maybe
had to spin up.
I don't know.
Well, the RI project.
We know exactly when it happened. Mm. It probably wasn't a spin down because it happened 20 seconds into the trace.
Yeah, twice then.
And that's probably in the middle, so it was probably already warm. I don't know what's going on there. All I can say is that there was one that was 3 seconds, 1.5, and so on. And then one other thing that's really handy with these kinds of analyses is that if you want to, you can right click, and I showed you this last time as well, is that you can say view as in Excel. And what it will do is it will take all that data that was in that view and just dump it into Excel so that you can do pivots and other things with it if you so desire.
We'll be a manager and make charts.
And you can make charts. You can make graphs of these elapsed time.
You
could go
PowerPoint.
Wild, man.
You could make a PowerPoint
you
of
could,
this.
You could, man. You could go wild. But I'm a dev. I don't worry about this. Now the thing about Disk I/O, when people first learn about Disk I/O, they say, oh, great. I can find out everything that my program touched. And the answer is not really. What this tells you is every time you touch the disk. In fact, everything that you could fetch from the file system cache doesn't touch the disk. That's the whole point of the file system cache, is to grab all that. So this is only things that were sort of cold, that literally had to be brought off the disk. And so sometimes, and especially in diagnostic situations, you want to know, all right, what did this program touch? Like, what files? I don't even know what this program's doing. Where the hell is it getting its data? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And you can do that. But for that, I don't do it by default because there are too many events.
So the other thing about disk is it's if you have more than one partition on the disk, if you try to do it, hey, show me everything on C drive versus everything on D drive, but they're the same drive.
That's right.
It's important to look at the disk. I mean, I know SSDs make it a bit more blurry these days, but when you have a physical head move, and you know, half your hard drive's at the top and half of it at the bottom, you're causing the head to swing a long way.
So when I say disk here, I mean disk, like the
physical
thing.
Disk.
Yeah. So this is down in the bowels of the operating system.
Physical disk rather than logical
disk. And this is not the logical disk. Yeah. But the logical disk sort of shows up in the path name. It'll be C colon whatever and so on. So. You'll see that. So in order to collect the, now here's what I was saying before, was that in order to see some kinds of data, and file IO is our first case of that, you have to ask for it when you collect. So in order to get file IO data, when I collect it, I had to click this little checkbox here. I'm not going to show you this, but you can certainly imagine if you care about registry, you can click it thing. And now every time you fetch anything from the registry, you'll see it. So again, it's often the case that when you're spelunking, trying to figure out where did that program get this piece of information from? I have no idea how it figured that out. You can turn on all the registry accesses. So it has actually some of the same capabilities as like Process Explorer or
Process Monitor,
excuse me.
And it probably uses the same underlying mechanism, doesn't it?
It doesn't.
No?
Okay. Mark Rusinovich, sort of, his stuff predate, well, ETW, he was an OS guy. He knew the right hooks in the OS. He went
that
directly
way instead of ETW.
ETW was invented in 2000, but it wasn't mainstream.
That's
until,
right.
Well, Vista really, really added a lot of providers, in fact, or nearly everyone that's important.
That's right.
But it wasn't in the mainstream for ages. Not till Windows 7 did people really start using it.
Exactly.
Now, is this more lightweight than using Process?
You know, I've never actually done a comparison, but we could do that. My expectation is they're about the same.
Probably.
What's cool about ETW, I mean, if you're happy with Process Monitor, stick with it. It's fine. It's a fun, wonderful thing. I use it from myself from time to time. But what's nice about ETW is that it gives you a whole bunch of other events.
Right.
And if you need those, or if I'll show you probably next time how to dump your own events into this stream. Mm. And so you can get those correlated with all the other things. And that's when ETW starts to shine.
And using last week as an example, like having the CR exceptions, you go, well, here's the exception. Mm-hmm. Well, what led up to it? Was it this network issue, this disk issue, the registry issue? What was I trying to touch on? There's the access denied to the registry. Oh, lo and behold, now I have an access denied exception.
So so what's happened is that ETW has grown up more in the perf space, and it happens to be useful for diagnostics. Process Monitor grew up in the sort of, you know, diagnostic space and might be kind of useful for performance maybe. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they do a better job on some things. Like they'll tell you every time an error comes back from the ET from a registry, you know, call and some other things like that. So if you're happy with Process Explorer, I'm sorry, Process Monitor, just keep using it. It's fine. Yeah. But there are some capabilities here, and especially if you need it for other reasons or it's just the ease of being able to collect the data, you know, it's available. Okay, so you have to collect the data with the right events turned on. But if you do, then I can come back in here and I can type file. IO, except I'm misspelling it. File IO. Okay, and you'll see all the file IO things. And there are two of them that are interesting. The first one is create. And when file create is very much like the create file OS API. All file opens go through create, even if they're not a create. And open is a create as far as the operating system is concerned. You won't find open in this list.
Yep.
And again, you can sort by, you can say, I only want to see file names. And then again, you know, Perfview allows you to filter on processes. So I can decide, I only want to see, I can say set process filter. And so now up here, I have a process filter. And so now I will only see the file creates that came from Visual Studio. And here they all are. Oh my God, I'm opening a lot of files. And this is actually pretty useful to find sharing violations. Like when somebody has a sharing violation, you're trying to figure out why, who had that file open? Well, that's not your process. It could be any process on the system. You can actually find out who opened that file.
Yep.
And because I had to restrict myself to DevEnv, but if I didn't, I would see every file open. So I would find out who else did it. Right. This works great for races, you know, things like that that don't repro. You just sort of let this run. And if it happens again, you got the trace and you can debug it. Some of the other fields of this is it will also tell you if it's been open for sharing, whether it's been open for read or write, and so on. And so again, those help you track things down. The other one that's interesting is read and write. And again, there's file IO, read and write. So the nice thing about these is realistically you had to do a file create in order to do a file read. So if all you cared about was just the name, you could just do the creates, which is why I showed it. But if you care about like how much, then you care about this. And probably if that's true, you'll probably want this, let's see, file IO read. We're gonna open the columns and I guess it's IO size and file name. And I'm going to hit enter. And so now, whoa, yeah. When you, okay, fine. One second. What's happened is that the Perfview's not smart enough to resize the columns. And so if you had a really big column in column two, which we did, then it keeps that even though IO size didn't need all that space. So anyway, I reset it so that it's now small. And you can see the sizes in bytes. Now, here's another one of those cases where I said, well, you can look at these in the events view, but you can also come over here and look at it in the file IO stacks. And again, you get to pick a particular process if you want. And what this does is it shows you the stack trace of every file IO, every read or write for this process.
What's that mean?
Okay, so if you get this, and you probably will get this at some point in your Perfview career, is it's warning you. It's saying, I see what are called broken stacks. So any view that displays stack traces, it's possible that when the stack trace was taken, we didn't get a complete stack trace. And when it notices that a lot of them are broken, so if there are a few percent that are broken, who cares? Just ignore them, and your analysis is probably still correct. But if it's large, then it could distort what you're doing. And so it warns you. It says there are 71% of the stacks that are broken. And it basically that's all it's saying. It's saying, hey, you know what? Better watch it. There are a lot of stacks that are broken. And when I say broken, here, let's see. Let's find it. Broken. So here's what a broken stack looks like. And the idea is that somewhere deep in the bowels of this program, in DevEnv, it was reading the file perfew.sdf that lived in the directory, blah, 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 blah. And there was this long stack trace. In fact, let's go ahead and get rid of all the grouping so we can see the long stack trace. So here it is.
That's kind of like getting rid of the Just My Code.
It just got rid of the Just My Code filtering, exactly. So now you can see it was in the kernel, it read blah, 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 came out to read file into SQL CESE 40. I don't know, I'd have to look up that. Presumably that's a SQL process, and it's trying to, and at that point, it was trying to collect the stack and it couldn't figure out what the next frame was.
Now,
and
is that so, just because of the invalid symbols or is it limitation of ETW?
I'll tell you that deserves more more talk than I'm going to give it here.
Okay.
And that's what this troubleshooting is. The very first couple things is like what's a broken stack and what it is for. But I will tell you really quickly what happens is that on 32-bit processes, and you'll see that it says process 32 up here, so I know it's a 32-bit process, it's doing what's called EBP stack walking.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's up to the compiler to emit enough code to sort of emit these extra little frames into each frame of the stack.
Right.
And if the compiler doesn't do that, then there's nothing we can do at runtime. And that's a very typical reason. And so I'm assuming what's happened is this code was compiled with what's called frame pointer optimization, which means that those weren't there, and so it breaks the stack.
Right.
So the reason why it's only a warning is that the fact that you have a broken stack, notice I got some part of the stack, and often you only care about the lower end, and that's what's called a bottom-up analysis. When you look at the bottom and you sort of look at where you are, you really don't care where it was called from,
mm-hmm.
In which case that still works perfectly fine. It's only when you do what's called a top-down that you're probably going to be misled. And so that's what the dialogues box said.
And you get the exact same issue in the debugger as well.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
FPL optimization just throws off stack
walking. On 64-bit systems, it works better because...
Only one calling convention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, you will run into those. And unfortunately, there's not much you can do about it. But what is also true is that it gets better over time. That the if you use newer operating systems, newer code, and so forth, it's much less likely to happen.
I believe that the newer compilers, don't they include more data about that stuff in the symbols?
Yeah, maybe, I think the FPM information is in the PDB
now. This might be just an older binary.
Yeah.
So anyway, the upshot of all this is I just wanted to give you the whirlwind view, is that you can see that each stack, actually, let's just open up one of these things. At the bottom of each of these stacks are what these pseudo-frames that actually tell you things about the file read. In particular, this obviously isn't a stack frame. It's actually telling you what file was opened, or you know, in this case, read. And this is actually the number of bytes. So again, you can find out, you can find out, for example, let's go over here, and we actually know that this perfu.sdf file, 56 megabytes was read from it. And it accounts for 60% of all file I/O that this program, this happens to be Visual Studio, was using. So and in fact, you even know over what time, exactly what time range is, blah, 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 blah. It works just like the CPU view. So that's files. So you can look at all sorts of files and learn things about that. We talked about disks already. In passing, I'm going to show you a few more, and that's probably all we'll have time for. You can actually get all the networking stuff. So you can find out, okay, you can type TCP IP. And there's a whole bunch of events associated with TCP IP, but I want to just show you two because these are the simplest ones to sort of understand. And I'm going to remove my, okay. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead. And I happen to know that the source address and the destination address are probably the most interesting things here. But, I forgot one. I'm going to do size, source address, and destination address. So I can, and then maybe I will, I've already filtered by process. So here is all the network calls made from Visual Studio and what, you know, IP addresses they came to and from. So you can know sort of how much disk or network traffic is being generated by a particular program or the machine as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. Let's see what else we got. Okay, memory. So now we can switch gears a little bit on memory. And one of the things This one's just a nice, I haven't even put this in the documentation, so your viewers are going to be the first to sort of learn one of my tricks. And there is a little known event called Perf Counter Rundown. And it turns out, I'm going to get rid of the process filter, and what it does is that for every process that was captured during this trace, it captures a certain set of interesting statistics that are shown here. So you'll see memory count, handle count, peak working set, blah, 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 blah. It turns out the ones that I find most interesting are peak working set size and peak private.
So rundown means it happens at the end of the trace.
That's right. It happens at the end of the trace, and that's why these are peaks. You're only going to get one event, so you're not going to see it over time, but you will see the peak. And so if you're just wondering, you know, how much memory were each of the processes that were done at the time that snapshot was taken? Well, here it is. These are the working sets for every process on the system. Poof. It's just sitting there waiting for you. I have to make a view that sort of makes that more
fancy.
You know, yeah, more accessible. No, you have to know the secret handshake, right, to find this piece of information. If you want to say, oh, I want something that sort of shows me what's going on over time and see where the peak is and so forth, we have that too. But this is, again, one of these ones where you have to do something special. And the answer is you have to turn on this mem info one. And again, if you didn't know that, you could click on these things and it will tell you what each of these little boxes are for. And the fact that there's a box means that I think there's something interesting.
Well, basically, you've got 20 scenarios there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so you can click on each one of them. They're actually all in the same place in the help. So you can like walk through them very quickly. You don't have to come back and forth, clicking back and forth. And you can find out all the interesting pieces of information. And then some of them will resonate with you and you'll decide, oh, that's interesting. And you can find out more and you can start spelunking.
So much like we talked about episodes ago, it's like it's all about going in with a purpose, right?
Exactly.
You collect the right thing. You know you're looking for X, Y, and Z. I think my disk is thrashing. I'll get disk and file.
I pick a set of defaults, but there's a whole bunch of information out there. And at some point, you know, you have to want it. And PerfView was not designed for diagnostic scenarios first and foremost, and because of that, the defaults are really not intended for the diagnostic case.
So you're you use kind of like process monitor for the broad, I don't know what's going on at all.
Right.
And you might be missing a lot of provider information, like you won't have the CLR information, have all of memory information, all these things are going to be missing in performance monitor.
That's right.
But then you can jump across to PerfView and drill into the thing that you're seeing is hot.
That's
disk
exactly
is hot,
right.
Why is it hot?
That's right. Memory, look at memory. And so on, yes.
And particularly performance monitor is not very good at weight analysis, where this would definitely...
Oh, yeah. So weight analysis is actually going to... We're going to talk... So I call that causality analysis, which is what led me here? And it turns out it can get arbitrarily complicated. It's actually surprisingly difficult. And so I'm saving that for a future demo.
Cool.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. So anyway, I was talking about memory here, and in particular, I was talking about the mem info. Back here at collect at this mem info. What happens when you click this on? And the answer is you get mem info events. And the one that I think is the most interesting to most people is this one. It's called memory process mem info. And what it does is that for each half second, it turns out twice a second, it logs what every process is memory usage is. And in fact, what does that mean? Well, it means I actually get four or five different numbers. One of them that's interesting usually is the working set page count and the private working set page count are probably the most interesting, but you can see there's also a virtual size, and I think that's probably the last interesting one. So I can do this, what usually happens is I care about one particular process. So let's go ahead and pick the devm process. Come on. There. And so now what I'm seeing is just those events from the devm process. And you can now see, here's how working set is changing over time. Here's a time in 17 seconds into the trace. It was 66 megabytes, goes up to 72. And every half second, you'll see. So this is sort of like perf counters. You dump the perf counters. Which, by the way, if you find that you want something else, you can dump perf counters into this log. There's a thing that does exactly that. It's called monitor perf counter. and look it up in the help for Perfu, and you can do that as well. So this is how you get a broad idea of what's going on with respect to memory. We will talk about how to drill into some of these memory things. We've already seen one case when we talked about a GC heap, but I will show you all the other possible things that might go wrong with respect to memory and how to drill into them.
Cool.
But this is a way of getting the broad top-level analysis. And I think...
That's about a week.
I think that's about it. I think that's about it. That covers it. So that's what I wanted to cover last time.
It took two episodes. Awesome. Well, thanks again for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you back again next week. Thanks for watching.
See you next week.
Bye.